respected elders and friends. All praises belong wholly and solely to Allah Rabbul Izzat, our creator, our sustainer, our nourisher. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who explains this important fact in the very opening chapter of the Qur'an Kareem in Surah Al-Fatiha. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. All praises belongs only and solely to Allah Rabbul Izzat. Whatever praises they can be in the world, it only belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whether Allah ta'ala praises his bandas, that is also the special favor of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The banda praises Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that is also the tawfiq of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Allah ta'ala gives us tawfiq to praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whether one banda praises another banda, one servant praises another servant, this is also the special favor of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this opening chapter, on the one hand Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala introduces himself so beautifully. On the other hand Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala teaches us that Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. All praises belongs only and solely to Allah Rabbul Izzat. Why? Allah ta'ala is Rabbul Alameen. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Rabb is that great being who brings something from non-existence into existence. Something that is not existing. Rabb and Khaliq, Allah Ta'ala is Khallaqun Azeem. Allah is a very great, mighty creator. Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala has brought this entire universe from non-existence into existence. And Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala has not only created me and you. Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala is Rabbul Alameen. Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala is the creator of all the universes, which this human mind cannot even understand. Were not able to fathom. Imam Razi rahmatullah alayh is mentioning his tafsir al-kabir that there are over 80,000 universes that Allah Ta'ala has created. And that also according to our limited minds, that's what we can understand. In any case, we should understand and realize that Allah Rabbul Izzat, who is Rabbul Alameen, Allah has created all the different creation. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions so beautifully in another ayat of the Qur'an Kareem, وَرَبُّكَ يَخْلُقُ مَا يَشَاءُ وَيَخْتَارُ مَا كَانَ لَهُمُ الْخِيَرَةُ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَ عَمَّا يُشْرِكُونَ. That O Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, your Rabb, your creator, your sustainer, and explain this matter and this fact to all my servants, to your ummatis, that وَرَبُّكَ يَخْلُقُ مَا يَشَاءُ. Allah Rabbul Izzat is that great Khaliq, Khallaqun Azeem, that Allah Ta'ala creates whatever Allah Ta'ala desires. مَا كَانَ لَهُ وَيَخْتَارُ. And then Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, who is the creator, and Allah Ta'ala has the sole right and choice to give honor and to give respect and to give preference to certain creation over his other creation. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created all the creation, and then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given certain preference to certain creation. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, مَا كَانَ لَهُمُ الْخِيَرَةُ. Nobody has a choice in this matter. And truly so, who can have the choice in the matter of giving preference to anybody? This is only and only the special authority of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah Rabbul Izzat, Allahu Akbar. Allah has created all this great creation of His, and then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given certain creation more honor and more greatness over the other creation. But then again, respected elders and friends, look at the favor and the kindness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not need to create any creation of His. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions very, very clearly, وَرَبُّكَ الْغَنِيُّ ذُرْ رَحْمَةً. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, O Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, mentioned this fact also, وَرَبُّكَ, your creator, your sustainer, your nourisher, is ghani. Allah ta'ala is totally independent. Allah is not in need of any creation. Allah ta'ala doesn't need the malaika also. Allah ta'ala doesn't need anybody. Allah ta'ala is totally independent. Allah ta'ala is as great as He is. Then the thought comes to mind that why did Allah Ta'ala create the entire creation? Why does Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala command us to make His ibadat, etc.? This fact Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala mentions in this ayat, Zur Rahmah. that all this that Allah Ta'ala has created, the whole creation, although Allah Ta'ala is independent, Allah is Dhur Rahmah, Allah is the embodiment of mercy. Allah is the creator of mercy. So it is the demand of the mercy of Allah, Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim. In Surah Fatiha also Allah Ta'ala teaches us this fact, that Allah Ta'ala is extremely merciful. Allah Ta'ala is very kind. So it was the demand of the mercy of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala that Allah Ta'ala created the entire universe. And Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala created the entire creation out of only and solely the demand of the mercy of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. And where will we learn the mercy of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala? How will we understand how merciful is Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala? So beautifully Allah Ta'ala mentions, Ar-Rahman fas'al bi khabira. That Allah Ta'ala is Rahman. Allah Ta'ala is extremely kind, very, very merciful. Allah Ta'ala's mercy has got no limits, no bounds. We can't imagine the mercy of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. But you'll only understand the mercy of Allah, fas'al bi khabira. Our Honorable Illustrious Dada Shaykh Hazrat Shah Hakim Muhammad Akhtar Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi used to say that he Shaykh, that is our great Dada Shaykh Hazrat Shah Abdul Ghani Pulpuri Rahmatullah Alayhi, has made a very beautiful translation of this ayat. He says, waj ajat ajate, that you go in a state of ecstasy when you understand the Urdu translation of this ayat. That Ar-Rahman fas'al bi khabira. Allah is very merciful, jo ba khabar hai. Those that know about Allah, those that know about the mercy of Allah, those that got the recognition and the marifat of Allah, when you sit in their company, then you will also come to know about Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. You will also come to know about how great is the mercy of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. So sit in the company of those people who have recognized Allah, who have recognized the mercy of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, and see, you will also learn to understand Allah Rabbul Izzat. And then Allahu Akbar, to become the slave of Allah, you will realize what a great honor this is. Any case, after Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, out of His sole mercy, and out of His soul, and only out of Allah Ta'ala's greatness and special wisdom, Allah created all the different universes. Then Allah Ta'ala has given preference over all the creation. Allah Ta'ala has given preference to Hazrat Insan. Allah Ta'ala made us ashraful makhlukat, the best of all creation. And to realize this fact over and over in the Qur'an-i Kareem, Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala has spelled this out to make us understand and realize that who we are, what an honorable creation we are, what great position Allah Ta'ala has given us. Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala says, وَلَقَدْ كَرَّمْنَا بَنِي آدَمْ وَحَمَلْنَاهُمْ فِي الْبَرِّ وَالْبَحْرِ وَرَزَقْنَاهُمْ مِنَ الطَّيِّبَاتِ. Allah Ta'ala says what great honor and what great stress Allah Ta'ala is saying. وَلَقَدْ كَرَّمْنَا بَنِي آدَمْ. That undoubtedly, most definitely, we have given great honor to the children of Adam alayhi salatu wasalam. In other words, Adam alayhi salatu wasalam and his progeny, this human being, we have given him great honor. We have given him such honor that he is the best of all creation. And not only that he is the best of all creation, we gave him control, we made all the creation to work for this Adam, to work for Adam alayhi salatu wasalam and his progeny, this human being. All the creation is working for us. So what a great honor Allah Ta'ala has given us. That Allah Ta'ala gives us a brief idea, they just ponder and think. وَحَمَلْنَاهُمْ فِي الْبَرِّ وَالْبَحْرِ وَرَزَقْنَاهُمْ مِنَ الطَّيِّبَاتِ. That now the small human being, we have given him that ability. We have given him that strength. That now he's got control over the oceans. He is making submarines. He is making huge ships. And is going into the huge ocean. And fil barri wal bahr. On the earth also you see this human being. One small man driving a big truck. This is beyond our understanding. We can't imagine that a small person controlling a big truck. A small person controlling a huge a plane that is flying in the air. A small person controlling a submarine. You go to India, Pakistan, particularly, you see small boys controlling big buffaloes. Small boys controlling elephants. It is mind-boggling. Allah Ta'ala says, all this we have given you. We have given you this ability. We have made all the creation subservient to you. So don't think this is your ability. That is why so beautifully Hazrat Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam teaches us that the moment you go behind any conveyance of yours, immediately realize this is not my ability. Subhanalladhi sakhkara lana haza wa ma kunna lahu muqrinin. That Subhanalladhi, pure is that great Allah. Pure is our creator, our sustainer, our nourisher. Sakhkara lana haza. Allah Ta'ala has given me control of this machine. Allah has given me control of this animal. Allah Ta'ala has given me control over the ocean. Allahu Akbar. Wa ma kunna lahu muqrinin. Where do we have any ability? We are small nuggets and we don't have any strength. Whatever we do, as it is said so beautifully, ye qadam uthte nahi uthaye jaate. That the feet of ours, it can't move on its own. It is Allah Ta'ala's special favor. Allah gives us the strength to lift up the feet. And we haven't come here on our own. It is the favor of Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala has brought us here. And where we'll understand all this? On our own, insan doesn't realize this. The small insan which Allah Ta'ala says, that insan, فَلْيَنْزُرِ الْإِنسَانُ مِنْ أَيِّ شَيْءٍ خَلَقَ. From what we have created you, O insan, don't you have time to ponder and think from what we have created you? مِنْ أَيِّ شَيْءٍ خَلَقَ مِنْ نُطْفَ. One droplet of semen, the dirty, filthy droplet of semen which comes out from the human body, the moment it emits, your whole body, every hair of your body is now nafa. This insan needs to go and make ghusl. But look at the qudrat of Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala says, we created you from nutfa, from this droplet of semen. But from that same droplet of semen, we made the material of your hard skull. This hard skull, Allah Ta'ala made that material from that droplet of semen. From that same droplet of semen, in that skull, Allah Ta'ala made the most delicate part of your body, that brain of yours. That Allah Ta'ala made the brain from that droplet of semen. From that same droplet of semen, Allah Ta'ala made your whole rib cage to protect all your lungs, to protect the heart, etc. From that same droplet of semen, Allah Ta'ala made the delicate heart. Allahu Akbar. Who has made all this? Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala says, just ponder and think that you don't have time now, you have come in the world. You think you are a very busy man, you are very active, you are engrossed in your world. Allah Ta'ala says, هَلْ أَتَعَلَى الْإِنسَانِ هِينٌ مِّنَ الدَّهْرِ لَمْ يَكُنْ شَيْئًا مَذْكُورًا. In Surah Al-Dahr, Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala strikingly reminds us that هَلْ أَتَعَلَى الْإِنسَانِ هِينٌ مِّنَ الدَّهْرِ لَمْ يَكُنْ شَيْئًا مَذْكُورًا. Insan, don't you have 1-2 minutes at least at your disposal to ponder and think? Don't you have time to ponder and think over the great favors of Allah, over the qudrat of Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala? Don't you have time to think that لَمْ يَكُنْ شَيْئًا مَذْكُورًا. Once upon a time you are non-existent, you are non-entity, nobody knew about you, nobody spoke about you. Not even your parents knew that you were going to come into the world, until perhaps your mother was conceived. Then your father and mother might have been talking that Allah Ta'ala grant us a boy, a girl, Allah Ta'ala grant us snake, pious children. But before that, the thought also didn't come that you're going to come into the world. لَمْ يَكُنْ شَيْئًا مَذْكُورًا. Who brought you into the world? Who gave you this honor? Who gave you this dignity? إِنَّا خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ مِنْ نُطْفَةٍ. That Allah Ta'ala says, we have created insan. And we have made you from nutfa. One droplet of semen, one droplet of sperm, we made you. إِنَّا خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ مِنْ نُطْفَةٍ أَمْشَاجٍ نَبْتَلِيهِ فَجَعَلْنَاهُ سَمِيعًا بَصِيرًا. Why did we make you also? To test you, that when you come into this world, when we have made you the best of all creation, أَشْرَفُ الْمَخْلُوقَاتِ, that this mustn't make you forget that who has brought you into the world. Don't think that you have come into the world on your own, or it's just a natural system that a human being comes into the world after the union of a male and female, or the institution of nikah. This is a natural, this is Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala's special favor. Allah Rabbul Izzat's special favor, that Allah Ta'ala says, وَجَعَلْنَاهُ سَمِيعًا بَصِيرًا. Look from that droplet of sperm, now this insan comes in the world, we have made him such that now he is سَمِيعًا بَصِيرًا. He can see everything, he can hear everything. Allahu Akbar. Where can a person ever imagine? From that droplet of sperm, Allah has made the material of our ears. And not just the ear, Allahu Akbar. If you look at the ear outwardly, you can't imagine that this ear is a tool to learn, to hear things. It's beyond our imagination. The eye, we can't imagine. Today we are so astonished with all different types of cameras. with all the technology. Look at the camera Allah Ta'ala is made of the eye. The eye is so small, but it's such a camera. Just one look, you look at a huge mountain. The beautiful scenery. With the small eye, you can look at a huge mountain. And immediately that eye captures that scenery, and it stays in your mind for years and years. What a beautiful scenery. But that same eye, if one small particle of that mountain, that one small particle of sand or anything has to come into your eye, now the eye cannot see. So look at Allah Ta'ala's creation, look at Allah Ta'ala's qudrat, and this is why Allah Ta'ala has made us the best of all creation. That Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala says, O Bani Adam, O son of Adam alayhi salatu wasalam, we have given you honor, we have given you respect, we have given you dignity, we have given you control over everything. And why all this? So that you recognize Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. Not that you come in the world and you forget about Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. Not that you come in the world and you think that Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala has sent me here just to earn my living, just to look after my family, and just to earn a big bank balance and become a rich man or have certain status and position. This is not why Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala has created us. This is a secondary matter. This is our bare necessity, our real object and purpose. Allah Ta'ala reminds us that any person who will ponder slightly and think that I was non-existent, Allah Ta'ala gave me my life, now what is my purpose of my life? What is my object of my life? Why did Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala make me? How should I lead my life? Where am I going from here? This is an intelligent person. And who better can tell us of our objective besides our Creator, Allah Rabbul Izzat Himself. Allah Ta'ala Himself, today we know, all the machinery that is manufactured in the world, for every more sophisticated machinery, there's a log book, there's a catalog that will teach us and give us instructions how to use that machine. And the more sophisticated, you'll get a, besides the manual and the catalog, you'll get an instructor, a person who will come teach you, demonstrate you practically. He will teach you that you use this machine in this way, use the machine in that way, use the machine in that way. And if you use it according to the instructions, according to the manual, you'll get maximum benefit out of that machine. On the other hand, if you want to use your own brains, and you want to use the machine according to your own intelligence, for example, you buy the latest model BMW, and they explain to you, this car moves at this speed, this car will give you this mileage, etc. After your first drive, now you see the price of petrol is very high, and the tank takes 80 liters, and 80 liters petrol is very expensive. Rather, let me change the whole system. Rather, let me put petrol in the radiator and put water in the petrol tank. And then the next day you go to the manufacturer and you say, this car, you said it's so good, it's not giving me the service I'm supposed to get. Immediately they'll ask you, are you following the instructions? Are you following the manual? What did you do? If you explain to them, they said, where can you ever get service from that car? So all the machinery in the world, we all know, we have to follow the manual, we have to follow the instructions. The greatest machine in the world, which now is manufacturing all other machines, which is making technology and manufacturing all microchips, the greatest machine in the world is this Hazrat-e Insan himself. And this machine has been manufactured by Allah Rabbul Izzat himself. And not just manufactured, created by Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. And Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala did not just send us in the world that we should just lead our life as we please. Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala has given us a special instruction, a special manual book. And Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala has given us our way of life. And that way of life is the Qur'an-i Kareem. And what that Qur'an-i Kareem, not only did Allah Ta'ala just send down the Qur'an-i Kareem, for example, on Kaaba Sharif and say, here's your instruction, here's your manual, here's your constitution, this is how you should lead your life. Allah Ta'ala, Allah Rabbul Izzat, out of His sheer mercy and kindness, Allah Ta'ala sent down the greatest example in the form of none other than Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And this fact Allah Ta'ala highlights and says, قَدْ جَاءَكُمْ مِنَ اللَّهِ نُورٌ وَكِتَابٌ مُبِينٌ. That do you know what has come to you? First of all, you are a great ni'mat of Allah. You are great favor of Allah. That Allah Ta'ala from all His creation, Allah Ta'ala has made me the best of all creation. Allah has made me ashraful makhlukat. Allah Ta'ala has given me so much honor and so much dignity. Now in order to understand the speck, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, from directly from Allah, قَدْ جَاءَكُمْ مِنَ اللَّهِ نُورُ وَكِتَابٌ مُبِينٌ. An embodiment of light. And what is this embodiment of light? The lifestyle of Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And what is the life of Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Allah ta'ala highlights the speck, وَكِتَابٌ مُبِينٌ. The clear open kitab, the Qur'ani Kareem, that is actually the demonstration of the life of Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. On one occasion, a person came to Sayyidina Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu ta'ala anha and inquired, explained to us what was the character of Hazrat Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So she didn't give a long bayan, very beautifully she explained, Kana khuluqu al-Qur'an. If you want to look at the walking Qur'an Sharif, the practical Qur'an Sharif, look at the life of Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And thus Qur'an Sharif, respected elders and friends, it's not just a kitab just for recital. It's not just a kitab, unfortunately, in this time and age, we think it only has to come out in the month of Ramadan Sharif, or on the day of Jummah, or when there is mayyat in our house, and after that the Qur'an must remain on the shelf. Qur'ani Kareem is meant to be recited also, and that recitation must bring a practical impact on our life. And we have to lead our life according to the Qur'ani Kareem. If we lead our life according to the Qur'ani Kareem, which in simple terms is the sunnat of Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and you follow the sunnat of Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then you will be following the kitab which Allah Ta'ala has given us, that is how to lead our life. Then see, when a person leads his life in this way, he himself will realize that my existence is a very great favor of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is my coming into the world. This is a great boon and favor of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I don't deserve to be existing. Allah ta'ala has given me this existence. Allah ta'ala has given me this honor and dignity. But when a person doesn't realize this, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so to say, complains about us and says, Ya ayyuhal insan, ma gharraka bi rabbikal kareem, alladhi khalaqaka fasawwaka fa'adalak, fi ayyi suratin ma sha'a rakkabak. Ya ayyuhal insan, O insan, ma gharraka bi rabbikal kareem. What has given you this deception of your Rabb, your Creator, your Sustainer, who is Kareem, who is very, very kind? Kareem, Allahu Akbar. Our Shaykh explains, our Honorable Illustrious Dada Shaykh Hazrat Shah Hakim Akhtasab, Madda Rahmatullah Alayhi, has explained from the tafsir of Allama Alusi Baghdadi Rahmatullah Alayhi, in tafsiri Ruhul Ma'ani, one of the greatest Arabic tafsirs, Hazrat explains four meanings of Kareem. Kareem is that great being, Alladhi yuti biduni su'alin wa minnat. That great being who favors without even begging from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah ta'ala is that kind and great being, that Allah ta'ala favors us without begging from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Alladhi yatafaddalu alayna biduni istihqaqin. That great being who favors you without deserving it in the least. But none of us should ever think and have this notion that I deserve to be insan. I deserve to be in this position. This is only Allah Ta'ala's special favor. This is only Allah Ta'ala's kindness. Yeah, so beautifully, our Honorable Illustrious Dada Shaykh Hazrat Shah Hakim Akhtasab Rahmatullah Alayhi says so beautifully, Agar tu chahe hame hai karam aapka, warna hum chahane ke to kabil hi nahi. That, oh Allah, if you give us some honor, if you give us some respect, if you choose us to come into your house, you choose us to take your name, you choose us to do some work of deen, oh Allah, it is only and only your favor. We don't deserve it in the least, but we are not worth anything in the least, but so this is Allah Ta'ala's Kareem, that Allah Ta'ala is so kind, Allah Ta'ala is so merciful, that without deserving it in the least, but Allah Ta'ala favors us. And not only that, Kareem is that great being, alladhi yatafaddalu alayna, that great being who favors us more than what we can even desire, more than what we can even imagine. And generally, we only look at those people that are better than us and we only complain. But if we only ponder and think that what Allah Ta'ala favors us every minute, every moment, Allah Ta'ala favors us more than we can imagine. We can't imagine the favors of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And to understand the speck, Allah Ta'ala mentions,
وَإِن تَعُدُّوا نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ لَا تُحْصُوهَا وَإِن تَعُدُّوا.
All of you, that is the whole of mankind, and all jinnat, and all of you, Allah has used the plural term, all of you get together and do what? تَعُدُّوا, you all of you count. In other words, put all your resources together, all your abilities, all your intelligence, everything, put it together and تَعُدُّوا نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ. Count one favor of Allah. Allahu Akbar. So beautifully, my honorable illustrious Shaykh Al-Nuna Shah Abdul Hamid Sahib, Madda Zilul Ali, explains that one is one, you don't have to count one. One is one, but why is Allah Ta'ala saying all of you get together and count one favor of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala? In other words, all of mankind, all of jinnat, all of us get together, we won't able to reach the brim of one favor of Allah. In one favor, Allah has kept millions and billions of other favors and ni'mats of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah Ta'ala says, all of you get together, you will get exhausted, your intelligence, your resources, everything, you still won't even reach the surface of one favor of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Kareem is that great being who favors beyond our imagination, more than we can even imagine, more than we can desire. Allah Ta'ala's favors are upon us. And not only that, Allahu Akbar, Kareem is that great being, Alladhi yatafaddalu alayna biduni khawfin ayyan fada ma indahu. That great being who favors us without the least fear that Allah Ta'ala's treasures are going to come to get finished. Allahu Akbar. Our Shaykh explained so beautifully that generally in the month of Ramadan, many collectors come around to collect for the madaris, etc., different projects. People, even a wealthy businessman, in the beginning of Ramadan, he does his budget, and he sees that this year I have to give so much zakat, and I can budget myself. And as the month is going, and he sees so many collectors has come, now he says, now I have to cut down, because now I don't have so much left, and there's still so many days of Ramadan, I have to cut down my budget. So the richest man in the world also, he has to check his budget, because his budget is to come to an end, it's limited. Allah Rabbul Izzat doesn't have to check his budget. Allah Rabbul Izzat very beautifully, Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam explains, that Allah Ta'ala says, if the whole world, all of you have to gather on one open plain, and all of you have to ask for the favors of Allah Ta'ala, all of you have to beg for your needs, and Allah Ta'ala grants every being all his needs, and not only all his needs, Allah gives you 10 times more than that. That will not diminish the treasures of Allah Ta'ala, not even to the extent that you take a needle and dip it into the ocean, and you take out that needle, how much water will it take out? Not even water, not even just some vapor, not even that much will get diminished from the treasures of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that is Kareem, that is our Allah, and that is why Allah Ta'ala has sent us here, to learn about, to recognize our Allah. When we recognize our Allah Rabbul Izzat, then we will realize we are the slaves, we are the servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we have to love like slaves. So respected elders and friends, first of all, to understand this reality, that from all the creation, only and solely out of the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah Ta'ala has chosen me and you to be ashraful makhlukat, the best of all creation. And this fact again, Allah Ta'ala highlights in Surah At-Tin, which I've recited in front of you. Allah Ta'ala takes 4 oaths, 4 qasams to highlight this important fact. And why does Allah Ta'ala have to take an oath? Allah Ta'ala is Haqqul Mubin. Allah Ta'ala is the one who manifests the truth, the creator of truth. Allah Ta'ala is the embodiment of truth. وَمَنَ أَصْدَقُ مِنَ اللَّهِ قِيلًا. Who can say a more true word than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Allah Ta'ala is not like me and you. When we take a qasam, we want to impress upon the person that I'm saying the truth. But sadly today, our condition, believers, we taking qasam and we still tell lies. We showed so much disrespect to the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when we don't realize who we are. We don't realize what is our reality and what is our, what did Allah Ta'ala make us of? What is our composition? So anyway, Allah Rabbul Izzat, Mufassireen have explained that Allah Rabbul Izzat takes a qasam, and Allah Ta'ala only takes a qasam of His great creation. And Allah Ta'ala takes a qasam to impress upon our minds the jawab-e qasam. In other words, after the oath, when a person takes an oath, then now you listen attentively. He's going to say something important. He's going to say a real truth. And Allahu Akbar, imagine the kindness of Allah.
Imagine the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that according to our temperament, our mizaj, and according to our nature, Allah ta'ala is taking a qawd for us. Allah ta'ala is taking qasam for us to make us understand that after this oath, Allah is going to say a very important matter. And what is that very important matter? Allah ta'ala again with great stress to take an oath. By Allah ta'ala taking an oath, that is stress enough. But again after that Allah ta'ala says, لَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانِ فِي أَحْسَنِ تَقْوِيمِ. Lam in Arabic comes for stress. Lam with the zabar. لَقَدْ also comes for stress. Allah ta'ala is saying, لَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانِ فِي أَحْسَنِ تَقْوِيمِ. That undoubtedly we created man in the best of forms. We created insan as the best of all creation. Allahu Akbar. An incident comes to mind in the time of Imam Muhammad rahmatullah alayhi, one of the great students of Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi. He was a very young man and he was already one of the muftis of that time. And in Baghdad at that time, one person was sitting in his garden on the 14th full moon. He was sitting with his wife and he was having a nice time and a love time with his wife, enjoying themselves in the garden, having drinking and having a nice time. And then a person doesn't think, he loses his mind sometimes. So this person, out of overjoy, that looking how beautiful and how pretty is his wife, all of a sudden he utters a statement and he says, if you're not more beautiful than the 14th full moon, then you are divorced from me. His wife was a pious woman. Immediately she went out of the garden. She said, what you said, such a statement, where's the 14th full moon? Where am I? And so immediately she walked out. And now he realized, Allahu Akbar. And this is why it's so important to have the company of the Ahlullah, so that we learn to make our Islam, we learn to how to control our tongues, how what to utter, first to think before we utter anything. So anyway, this person, regretfully, she told him, you better go and ask the muftis of the time, that whether we are still in nikah or not, where is the beauty of the 14th full moon, where am I? And many poets use the beauty of the 14th full moon to explain the beauty of love, etc. So now he was very worried, regretful, what did I say? He went to the king of the time and he said, this is my problem. I have this problem, this is what I uttered. The king called all the muftis of the time. It was in the time of Baghdad when it was flourishing with knowledge and great muftis at that time. All of them were summoned, great ulama were there, and amongst them was this young mufti, Hazrat Imam Muhammad rahmatullah alayhi, was also sitting there. So all he said, this man has got a problem, this is what he uttered, that if his wife is not more beautiful than the 14th full moon, then she's divorced from him. So what is the fatwa? All the muftis are amongst them, they all said it seems like his wife is divorced. So Imam Muhammad rahmatullah alayhi, young man was sitting, the king asked him, why you not saying anything? He says, the elders should speak, and this is respect, adab, and this is all part of Islam, our reformation. That from the elders we will learn that Imam Hazrat Hakimul Ummat, Hazrat Mawlana Ashraf Ali Thani rahmatullah alayhi has mentioned, ba adab ba naseeb, be adab bad be naseeb, and bad adab bad naseeb. That person who's got adab, respect, he respects his elders, doesn't talk out of turn, etc., Allah Ta'ala will give him a great deal. Allah Ta'ala will give him a great goodness in this world. And that person who's got bad character, who doesn't think, and he doesn't show respect to the elders, to the ulama, etc., to the ulama Rabbaniyin, we just want to utter what we feel like, then such a person, we will lose out tremendously. And worse than that, but other, that person who's got bad character, and just utter bad words, doesn't care who he's talking about, that person will become a very wretched person. So anyway, Imam Muhammad was a young alim, a young mufti there. So they asked him why. The king said, no, you must also speak. And you also have to give what you think of this matter. So then he said, according to what I understand, his wife is not divorced from him. All the ulama were surprised. He says, what you are saying? He says, I am not saying it. Allah Ta'ala is mentioned in the Qur'an Kareem. Then he quoted this ayat and he says, Allah Ta'ala says, لَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ فِي أَحْسَنِ تَقْوِيمٍ. That Allah Ta'ala says we have created insan in the best of all forms. When Allah Ta'ala is saying that she, with insan is the best of all creation, that means she is better than the moon. She is better than the sun. She is better than all the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when Allah has given us this honor, this respect, this dignity, then what a great honor Allah ta'ala has given us. But Allah ta'ala immediately reminds us after that, in the same surah, surah 15, ثُمَّ رَجَلْنَاهُ أَسْفَلَ سَافِلِينَ. That insan, if you don't realize your honor, you don't realize your dignity, you don't realize how we have created you and given you so much respect, then you will lower yourself to the lowest of lowest depths. You will become worse than animals if you don't realize that Allah Ta'ala has given you honor. And this honor and respect goes to your head, and your head blows up and you think, now I'm a very important person. I'm a rich man, I'm a director, I have got this position, etc. You will lower yourself to the lowest of depths. Now, Allah Ta'ala, Allahu Akbar. Mufassireen, ulama have explained, in order for us to remain on this high position, that we are the best of all creation, in the four qasams, Allah Ta'ala has, so to say, give us an indication to make us understand, first of all, our composition. That what has Allah Ta'ala made us? Allah Ta'ala has made us in two parts. One is this body, this outer form of ours. This body is just the outer form. And the reality of every Muslim, every human being is his soul, his ruh. The body is like the vehicle. And the passenger in the vehicle, he is more important than the vehicle. The body is just the vehicle. More important than the vehicle is the passenger. He is the VIP. And according to the passenger, Allahu Akbar, a great alim can be sitting in a simple car. That car now becomes important. People that are driving all 7 series BMs, they all follow that small car because of the personality that is sitting in there. So the personality, the root, the life of everything, that is more important. So ulama have explained so beautifully here in the surah that Allah Ta'ala has given indication and made us realize that you are made of two, a composition of two things. One is your body and one is your ruh, your soul. In order for your body to be healthy, it's also important that our body should be healthy so that this body can transport and this body can be a good vehicle for the soul, which is very important. So in order for this body to be healthy, Allah Ta'ala has taken qasam wa teen wa zaytun. By the qasam of the fig, by the qasam of the olive. What is Allah Ta'ala indicating here? That insan, if you want to have a healthy body, then very, very important, halal under all circumstances. There's no question that a person should eat even doubtful food. Halal, a Muslim should be very, very conscious. And sadly today, the ummah, we have become so negligent. And this is the working of the Western world. Shaitan and his ploys are working so hard to make us unmindful and to make us negligent with regard to what we eat. And it is said so beautiful, it is said in English, you are what you eat. Whatever you eat, that is what you will become. Our Shaykh Rahman Abdul Hamid Sahib Madhazirul Ali explained so beautifully. He says, today we all complain that our children are not listening. Our children are becoming juvenile delinquencies, etc. Young teenagers, they're not listening, etc. And we want Taweez. But Hazrat says, actually see from what is that child born. Ulama have explained so beautifully that whatever you eat, that food becomes, forms into blood. And that blood now, it moves into all the different parts of the body to give strength for that. But that blood also, it forms your semen. And from that blood now, that semen that is formed, that semen when it's transferred in the right way, halal way into the womb of your wife, from that the child will be born. So for example, if you drank the zamzam of Makkah Sharif, and with that your blood was formed and your semen was formed, and from that your child, Allah Ta'ala gave you a child that was born from that semen, that child will have Makki habits. That will be like a Makki child. And if a child is born, if you had the Kajur of Madina Sharif, with that your blood was formed, your semen was formed, and from that child was born, that child will be a Madani child. You will have habits of Madina Sharif. And if we are eating junk food, as today we say the children like to eat out, but our Shaykh says so beautifully, hum bachpan ho gaye, abhi bachpana nahi gaye. We 55, we 60, we say the children want to eat out, but we want to go out and eat. We want to go to all these resorts and we just pass the buck on to the children. So we also like to eat out and eat all this junk food. From that junk food, our blood is formed, our semen is formed, and that child is born, now what child will be there? That will be a junkie child. So we have to check ourselves. We have to look at ourselves and then see according to us. That is, according to our actions and all this, respected elders and friends. We are so fortunate. Look at the concern of the Ahlullah. They are concerned. They have got the love of Allah, the marifat of Allah. They are concerned how we can all get this. How we can all make our Islam, purify our hearts and get this recognition of Allah. This is the concern of our Honorable Ilassar Hazrat, Hazrat Mawlana Shah Abdul Hamid Sahib Madazilul Ali, traveling throughout the world, that how every person in the world can realize what an honorable position Allah Ta'ala has given us. And Allah wants us to remain with great honor. Allah wants us to remain under His mercy. But today we are complaining and we see the condition of the Ummah. What is the condition of the Ummah? We are crying what is happening in Syria, what is happening in Sham, all over the world. But we are not checking what is, why we are falling into that trap. Our example, Allah Ta'ala put this example in the mind, is like when there's heavy rain pouring down. And a father is going out of the house with his son and he's got a nice big umbrella. And he tells the son, you walk under the umbrella, you won't get wet. So the son, as they walk out of the house, he becomes stubborn and is moving out of the shadow of the umbrella. And he's crying to his father, I'm getting wet, I'm getting wet. And the father is pulling him under the umbrella, he doesn't want to come, but he's crying, I'm getting wet. Exactly the same today, we the Ummah, we have moved out of the umbrella of the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala says, what is the umbrella of the mercy of Allah? وَأَطِيعُوا اللَّهَ وَأَطِيعُوا الرَّسُولَ لَعَلَّكُمْ تُرْحَمُونَ. If you recognize you the servant of Allah, you should be obedient to the commands of Allah. And not according to your limited understanding, your limited intellect and knowledge. You don't have to go onto the website to find out how I should obey Allah's command. Because as that one poor fly who gets caught in the web of a spider, it can't come out. And we all like big flies getting caught up into the different websites. And instead of obeying Allah Ta'ala's command in the way that Allah is pleased, we are getting so caught up and we're getting lost. We have to obey Allah Ta'ala's command, wa atiyu Rasul, according to the sunnah of Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And then Allah Ta'ala says, la'allakum turhamun. Then Allah Ta'ala's mercy will come down upon you. Allah Ta'ala will change conditions. Our work is, we cannot change outward conditions. We have to change our own condition. And we have to realize who we are. So the first important thing we have to realize, this ni'mat of this body, this is also a great ni'mat of Allah. This is a great favor of Allah. And وَإِنَّ لِجَسَدِكَ عَلَيْكَ حَقْ. Our bodies have got a right upon us. So we should see that we nurture our bodies properly. And Allah Ta'ala says, كُلُوا مِنَ الطَّيِّبَاتِ. We gave you all wholesome, pure, good food to eat. Halal is 100%, we can't imagine. But with that, not only halal food, wholesome, healthy food we should eat. And that also we learn from the friends of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The khanka is not just what we understand, just coming and making some zikr, and we read the ishraq, and we think now we are great, pious people. The khanka is to teach us, Hazrat Hakimul Ummat, Hazrat Munashaf Ali Tani rahmatullah used to say, and Allahu Akbar, the Hakimul Ummat of our time, our Shaykh explained so beautifully, that if you want to become an insan, a human being, then come to this khanka. We'll teach you how to love like a human being. We first have to become human beings. Then we're able to become proper Muslims. Then we're able to become mu'mineen. And then we're able to become the waliyas, the awliya Allah, the friends of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So to learn how every aspect of our life, how to eat, what type of food to eat, this is also part of Islam. This is also the work of tasawwuf. So tasawwuf is practical, simple, down to earth things, which our Hazrat says that our fundamental, our basis, we are myself first of all, this address is to myself that I should ponder, that our bases are so rotten and we think we are very pious, we are very great, so we should see ourselves. So Allah Ta'ala has taught us that this body of yours will remain healthy if you eat halal, wholesome food. Like fruits, eat good fruits like the fig, etc. And eat good type of vegetables and all wholesome food, your body will be healthy. And more important than your body is your soul. How will your soul be healthy? Allah Ta'ala takes the other two qasams, وَتُورِ سِينِينَ وَهَذَا الْبَلَدِ الْأَمِينَ. That your more important than your body is your ruh, your soul. The soul will be healthy, and as long as the soul is healthy, the body will be healthy. Today, Allahu Akbar, many doctors have come to realize that 90% of the diseases are psychological diseases. It's just according to the mind. And according to the mind, a person feels he is very sick, etc. Sometimes a person got a heavy headache, he goes to the doctor. The doctor even gives him a water injection. Just because he got the injection, he feels, no, now I'm feeling about fine. So psychologically, because he has got the injection, he's feeling okay. But our Shaykh says, if they only realize and go one step further, they'll realize, not even psychologically, spiritually. If spiritually we are healthy, our body will be healthy. Our whole body will be healthy, because the causes, basic causes, for example, of stress and basic causes of tension, high blood, etc., is because, for example, a person like myself, Allah Ta'ala save me and all of us, we have the disease of jealousy. You're seeing somebody else got something, now you burning in your heart. Because you are burning, and Hazrat says, that burn of yours, all the fire brigades in the world can come and won't able to put off that fire. That fire will only be put off with the rahmat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When we come in the company of the friends of Allah, with the intention of Islah, that I want to purify my heart, they will teach us about the greatness of Allah, how to make the zikr of Allah, to take this medicine of zikr as Islah. One is the zikr we make, the tasbihat for sawab. One is our zikr for Islah, and that we can only get prescribed from a specialist, from the special doctors, and these are called the mashayikh, the ahlullah. When you look at them, you are thinking of Allah, you are reminded of Allah. You look at the sunnahs of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in their lives. When they talk, they remind you about akhirat. Such a person, when your heart clicks and you say, I think this person will take me to Allah, then put your hand in his hand. This is called bi'at. That pledge your hand that you guide me towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah, see, in a short while, if we do the treatment they give us, that we are punctual to our ma'amulat, our zikrs, etc., then we will get the strength to stay away from the disobedience of Allah. And see what we taught, that I can't control my gazes. I can't leave out my sports. My sports, I must watch. You'll see all those things you'll forget about. When once you get one drop of the love of Allah, then all the other things of this world become cold. You'll see there's no attraction in this. So all the spiritual diseases, this causes our physical diseases also. So very important, how to make our ruh strong, which is the most important aspect. And this ruh comes from where? The body. We are so concerned today of the body all the time, that a person is going to the gym regularly. Here also again, Shaitan's ploy and all his allies, that big advertisements, all big gyms, and they give you all special discounts, etc. You must go there and tire yourself like a mad person, and you're paying so much. And this is actually what is called Western diplomacy. They say you must use diplomacy on people. And what is diplomacy? To tell somebody to go to hell in such a way he looks forward to it. And today we're not only looking forward, from our own pocket, we're working so hard, and we taking out that money and paying to go towards all the wrong places. And we think, no, I'm going to keep my body healthy. So many people just come out of the gym and they get a heart attack. So it's not the gym that's going to keep you healthy and fit. And it's not the gym that you're going to keep your body intact if we follow the sunnahs of Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Just the ibadat we do according to the sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Our namazes come in order. See what a great exercise that is. We don't do namaz for exercise. But all our matters of deen is so beneficial for our dunya also. So we should realize and understand, we shouldn't be only worried of this body. Because Allah Ta'ala mentions this body, where did we make this body from? Mina khalaqnakum wa fiha nu'idukum wa mina nukhrijukum taratan ukhra. From the soil we created your body. And this is also the sunnah of Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When we go to the Qabrastan, we shouldn't be standing with folded arms and be shy to take the spade and throw sand in the qabr. That is a very great sunnah. And that sand in the qabr will help us on the day of Qiyamah. It will come into our nama amal on our scale, and it will make it very heavy. So we should throw with the first spade, you should say, Mina khalaqnakum. The second spade, Wafiya nu'idukum. And that is, you're going to go back into the soil. The body is going to go into the soil. And that body is going to come out from that soil. وَمِنَا نُفِيجُكُمْ تَارَةً أُخْرَى. And this reality we learn, Allah Akbar, our Shaykh teaches us, when you go into your first sajda, then when you're putting your head on the ground, just think, مِنَا خَلَقْنَاكُمْ. And when you come and sit in your jalsa, that small position, مِنَا خَلَقْنَاكُمْ وَفِيهَا نُعِيدُكُمْ. Very soon I'll be returning to that position. In other words, I only got so short life to prepare for the time of Akhirat when I'm going to stand in front of Allah. When you go from the third into the second sijda, realize I'm going to get up from that same qabr, Allah Ta'ala is going to take me off. But that is the body. The soul comes where Allah Ta'ala has made all the arwah and kept it in A'la Illiyin. Below the arsh of Allah Ta'ala, then that soul is transferred into the body. Now the soul has got a special connection with Allah. But if the soul, like if the body is not treated and not given nourishment, your child doesn't eat for 2-3 days, you get worried, you will get dehydrated. But sadly, we are not worried that our soul is not getting food, that we are getting spiritually dehydrated. And when the soul becomes dehydrated, the body overpowers, the nafs pulls us towards haram. The nafs is that thing. فَإِنَّ النَّفْسَ أَمَّارَةٌ بِالسُّوءِ. Hazrat Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam is saying, وَمَا أُبَرِّئُ نَفْسِي إِنَّ النَّفْسَ لَأَمَّارَةٌ بِالسُّوءِ. Said, oh Allah, it's not me that can save myself. My nafs is such that pulls me, commands me towards haram. So this body wants to take us towards haram. But when we nourish the soul, and the soul is given the proper nourishment, and the soul is given the treatment from the Ahlullah, the zikr of Allah, our ibadat, our tilawat of Quran, our namazas, etc., we do good aman, the soul will be strong. How will be the soul strong? Allah Ta'ala says, what two receiving. Musa alayhi salatu wasalam got his nabuwat on Mount Sinai. And he got that. He got the spiritual medicine to treat the people. Those who followed in the footsteps of Nabi Muhammad, of Nabi Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, they became successful. Their souls were healthy and their bodies moved in the right direction and they reached where they're supposed to be reaching. And then more greater than that, Allah says, وَحَاذَ الْبَلَدِ الْأَمِينِ. This city, this most peaceful city of Makkah Sharif, where the greatest personality, Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was born. If you want a good, healthy life, follow in the footsteps of Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And how will we follow in the footsteps of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam in this time and age? And that is also important on our own directly. It's not possible that we can understand a hadith on our own and say we want to follow directly Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allah Ta'ala's system is, Allah has kept this chain, that in a sirat al-mustaqim, if you want the straight path, then follow sirat al-ladheena an'amta alayhim. The path of those people Allah Ta'ala has favored. And who are the people Allah Ta'ala has favored? Ulaika al-ladheena an'ama Allahu alayhim minan nabiyyin wa siddiqeen wa shuhada wa salihin. The path of the Anbiya alayhimus salatu wasalam, they are gone. The path of the shuhada, they have also given their lives. The path of the Siddiqeen, the very true pious servants of Allah, they are in the world here. Very few we can recognize them. The greatest of all was Siddiq Akbar, Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala. And Siddiq Akbar, what made him Siddiq? Allah Akbar, what gave him that great position? It was Shay'un Bukhira fi Qalbi. Something that was burning in the heart of Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq. And what was that burn in the heart of Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu? Was the love of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Very few hadiths he have narrated, but yet he is the greatest personality because he stayed so much in the company of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that he became, so to say, like Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So this is what Imam Allahu Akbar Allama Alusi Baghdadi rahmatullah alayhi mentioned so beautifully, that Allah Ta'ala says, Kunu ma'as sadiqeen. If you also want to become the friends of Allah, bring iman, after iman, inculcate taqwa, the true love of Allah. Taqwa, we all might be thinking, it's very hard, it's very expensive. It is very hard and expensive, but Allah showed us the very easy method, that just kunu ma'as sadiqeen, just be with the true pious servants of Allah. And here Allah Ta'ala didn't say, kunu ma'al muttaqeen, be with the pious servants, although sadiqeen are the muttaqeen. Ulaika alladheena sadaqu wa ulaika hum muttaqoon. The true servants of Allah are the pious servants. But why did Allah Ta'ala say sadiqeen? Allah Ta'ala says those that are sadiq in their taqwa, those that are true in their piety, in their public life, private life also. Not when we give a good bayan, Allah save me and all, big bayan, and we say we mustn't watch haram TV, etc. But yet in our private, we got our small TVs in our cupboards. And we go home, now we're watching our TV. Or not even in our cupboards, every person, we got our casinos in our pockets, we got our TVs in our pockets today. You just open your mobile, whichever haram site you want to go on, Allah Ta'ala save us. So to put in an outward picture of piety is very, very easy. So we should be careful that those people, and be very easy to recognize those that are pious servants of Allah. Don't be just fooled what an output does be. A person got a big amama, nice big jubba, and you think is a very pious person. We should be careful. For example, one such peer, jali peer, who just wants to take the money of people, looking at their pockets, and one rich murid, so he can become very rich. He was a person, just outwardly with a big tasbih, nice big jubba, yellow turban, etc. He's walking with his murids, a lot of people who are unmindful, ignorant, we just follow blindly. So they were walking with him, all of a sudden he took his stick and he hit the ground very hard. Sparks came out. All the murids were surprised. What happened? Hazrat hit the ground. What's wrong here? So they asked him. One person had some courage to say, Hazrat, what happened? He says, didn't you see there was a dog who was going into Haram Sharif? He says, Hazrat, where we can see? There was a dog going into Haram Sharif and I hit the dog here, it ran out. They all were shocked. Hazrat is here in America or wherever and he should see the dog in Haram Sharif. Now all the murids are over. Oh, what a sheikh we got. What a very great sheikh. So now they all say dawat after dawat. One person went home, he told his wife, please, we must give our sheikh dawat. Her screws were not loose, her screws were tied properly. She had good contact with the true ulama Rabbaniyin. He said, what dawat? The sheikh only came for dawat all the time. He says, no, please, you must give him dawat. He's such a great sheikh. He say, okay, we'll give your sheikh dawat. So her turn for dawat came. Then, Allahu Akbar, she changed, just cutting it short very quickly, she changed the whole procedure. Normally when dawat, everybody is sitting, the platters are full. The first platter goes to Hazrat and he dishes out first. Now she changed the whole system. She didn't send the food in the platters, she sent in individual plates. And for each person she put nice rice at the bottom and nice meat, kurbani meat, whatever. And so delicious, and she sent the first plate. He said, for who is this? For Hazrat? He says, no, he is coming special. Tell him to wait. So she gave all the other people first, 50, 60 murids. And now his mouth is watering all the time. That they all getting the food and he's getting angry. That what's wrong with you? So he goes into the kitchen, he tells his wife, what's wrong? She tell Hazrat, just make sabar, easy, is special. When his turn came, she reversed the situation again. She put the meat under and she put all the plain rice on top. And she said, this is special for Hazrat. When he brought this, again he got angry. He says, what disrespect to me? First of all, you make me wait so much and now you just give me plain rice. Now again he went to the kitchen and said his wife, what you did? She said, okay, I'm coming. She brought the imam dusto which would stem the chilies. And she came and gave the sheikh one shot on the head. He said, tell your sheikh, he can see the dog from here going to Makkah Sharif, he can't see the meat under the rice. So Allah Ta'ala says, Kunu ma sadiqeen. Be what the true pious servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then see your spiritual reformation will take place. Those Sahaba that stayed in the sohbat of Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, 1 minute of sohbat, that is why Allahu Akbar, him. Hazrat Maulana Rum Rahmatullah Ali, a great wali of Allah, Arif Billah, he mentioned so beautifully, Yad Zamana ba sohbat awliya, better asad sala ta'ad beriyas. That one moment in the company of the true friends of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is better than 100 years of ibadat with ikhlas. Hazrat Mufti Shafi Sahib rahmatullahi, a great mufti of the time. But imagine even the muftis, even the great ulama knew that we've got knowledge of deen. But the reality, the noor of deen, you'll only get from the heart of the pious servants of Allah. So Hazrat Mufti Shafi Sahib was the murid and was the great khalifa of Hakimul Ummat, Hazrat Maulana Ashraf Ali Tami rahmatullahi. One day he was walking with his sheikh, then he said, Hazrat, this poem here, Yak Zamana Ba Sohbati Awliya, Baitar Asad Sala Taat Be Riyaz, I don't understand it. Immediately the sheikh made out, he said, Mufti Sahib, you think that the poet has overstated, that where's 100 years of ikhlas ibadat in one moment in the company of the friends of Allah? He said, Gee Hazrat, I think it's overstated. Hazrat said, it's not overstated, it's understated. It's supposed to be Yak Zamana Ba Sohbati Awliya, Baitar Az Lak Sala Taat Be Riyaz. That one moment in the company of the friends of Allah will be better than 100,000 years of ibadat with ikhlas. Because a person making ibadat on his own and think, I'm pious, I don't need a sheikh, shaitan, very easy, he will make you feel you the Junaid of the time. You are a very pious people, a pious person. Everybody else, they are not concerned of the love of Allah. So you'll think yourself to be very pious. But when you sit one moment in the company of the friends of Allah, most our Islam will take place But what great ni'mat you get, you get the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَنْ يَرْتَدَّ مِنْكُمْ عَنْ دِينِي فَسَوْفَ يَعْتِ اللَّهُ بِقَوْمِي يُحِبُّهُمْ وَيُحِبُّونَ. That if one person, the one person become murtad, and you don't be overtaken that a person has become murtad, in reality he didn't have proper iman in his heart. And a person who becomes murtad is like dirt, the rubbish belongs to the rubbish bun, the dirt bun. So Allah Ta'ala says if a person became murtad, فَسَوْفَ يَعْتِ اللَّهُ بِقَوْمٍ, very soon, that is in the near future, Allah will bring a whole nation in turn, بِقَوْمِ يُحِبُّهُمْ وَيُحِبُّونَ, that Allah loves them and they will love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Which shows that the love of Allah is that great ni'mat that will keep a person on deen and you will go with perfect iman. So this you will get in the company of the friends of Allah. And how fortunate we got such a great wali in our midst. If we realize this and join up with the friends of Allah, then see, Allah Ta'ala says, that person who does his spiritual nourishment and he looks after his soul, and then he'll be concerned about his physical nourishment, and he'll realize my soul is more important. Then that is the person Allah Ta'ala says, لَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ فِي أَحْسَنِ تَقْوِيمٍ. Those are great personalities. That is why Allah Ta'ala says, if you want to really see real men, رِجَالٌ صَدَقُوا مَا عَهْدَ اللَّهِ. Rijal, men were those personalities, Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum. Why they became great men? What sohbat? Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum, Allah Ta'ala has chosen their name as Sahaba. Sahaba is from the word sohbat, which means companionship. They were the best musallis in the world. They were the best zakirin in the world. They were the best personalities who kept roza, but their names were not kept on any of those ibadat. Allah Ta'ala wants to see sifat, qualities. And qualities will come from the heart of one personality in the heart of another personality. A pious person says it so beautifully, ye aag lagti nahi lagai jati. Kisi jalte hue dil ke paas apne dil ko rakho, tumhari dil bhi jal jayegi. That this love of Allah is like a flame. It won't just light up on its own. Go and put your heart near one of the hearts that is burning with the flame of Allah. Open heartedness and also on this flame, your heart will also come alive. Then see, Allah Ta'ala says, the sign of a true believer, إِلَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ فَلَوْمْ أَجْرٌ خَيْرٌ مَمْنُونَ. Now you see this person, he's got iman. All the time, his most important asset is iman. He's worried of his iman all the time. He's saving himself from the wrong environments. He's saving himself. Today we say it's very difficult to control our gazes. Hazrat says it's not difficult to control your gazes because you are immature, you don't want to build courage. You don't want to come in the company of the friends of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so you think it's difficult. Wallah, come in the company of the friends of Allah. And this is what this whole Islam Majlis is about. To learn that from the friends of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that to obey Allah ta'ala's commands will not just be easy, will be enjoyable. And together with that very important, not just the positive ibadat, the negative ibadat, that is stay away from sin, from guna, and thus we should make a niyat from the morning when we get up, that Allah, I promise today, even for example, a person, he knows inshallah, he won't consume alcohol, but you make niyat, ya Allah, I won't consume alcohol today. I'll stay away from all haram, and particularly those things that we are weak in, myself first of all, that if we not our gazes, we are weak in controlling it, make an intention and say, ya Allah, I promise, today I will not do bad nasri. I will not look at, I won't cast evil glances. And not only evil glances, I'll protect all my glances as far as possible from not looking at rare mihram. Not only in the streets, whether it's on the internet, whether it's on the mobile, the billboards, all this I'll protect. Then see, this negative ibadat, 24 hours you're getting sawab already. Positive ibadat, when you start your namaz, you'll be getting reward. And what positive and negative, you'll get the current of the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And where we will get all this, Allahu Akbar, I end off with this so beautifully. One Abdul Ghani Pulpuri rahmatullah alayhi has mentioned so beautifully, in simple, our Shaykh says, simple mathematics. That Hazrat says, agar mitai chahe, to kaha milega. Mitai walo se, if you want sweet meat, where you get it? You can't go to the fabric shop and say, I want some mitai. You'll say your screws are loose or something. Go to the mitai shop, agar kebab chahe, to kaha milega. Kebab walo se, if you want kebab, go to those that are selling kebab. Agar doodh chahe to kaha milega? Doodh walo se. You want milk, go to the dairy, go to where they are selling milk. To agar Allah chahe to kaha milega? Allah walo se. So we have to learn how to get this connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then Allah Ta'ala says, وَحَاذَ الْبَلَدِ الْأَمِينَ. This peaceful city became peaceful with the beautiful embodiment of the life of Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And all those who followed in the footsteps of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, their city didn't only become peace, they became an embodiment of peace themselves. Today we all looking for peace and aman throughout the world, and Allah has kept the aman there, but we are moving out of this peace. We have to come in the peace zone. And the peace zone will only get ala bi zikri lahi tatma'innu qulub. Allah says, open your ears and listen. When you are soaked in the zikr of Allah, Allah Akbar, Allama Alusi Baghdadi rahmatullahi has mentioned bi zikri lah. Bi in Arabic normally means what the zikr of Allah. Here it's not what the zikr of Allah, here bi means fi zikri lah. When you soak in the zikr of Allah. And this is the training we'll get from the Ahlullah. Zikr will start on the tongue, but the reality has to go into the heart. And what is the reality of zikr? That the Ahlullah have got two worries all the time. One worry is, for one moment I mustn't displease my Allah. My Allah must not be unhappy. That is the true zikr of Allah. And then all the time will be worried. When I leave this world, I must leave with true and perfect iman. So I meet Allah Ta'ala in the state that Allah is happy with me, and I must be happy with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala give us all tawfiq and understanding. Inshallah, there'll be more detailed explanation taking place. Far better we should all sit with open hearts and listen. And Allah Ta'ala give us all this true burning love of His and make us His close friends.